This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Fourth and final hour, Ball and Lions, WEEI, just a little after 12 o'clock here on Saturday, January the 3rd, 2026. Dan Ball, John Lyons, we got David Azer back behind the glass, and we got you at 617-779-7937. Our final hour with you here now this afternoon as we get you into KJ and Tom Carroll at 1, and then we got a full slate, well, at least a duet of NFL games coming up beginning at 4 o'clock, two games with implications on divisions and conferences and all that kind of stuff, which we can get into later. But the game of the week for Patriots fans, Patriots and the Dolphins, Week 18. The division is already wrapped up. The number one seed is still, by a technicality, available for the Patriots if they win and the Denver Broncos lose. So if Trey Lance is able to beat the Denver Broncos, there is a path for the Patriots to get the number one seed. They cannot finish any lower than third. It's first, likely second or third in the conference for the New England Patriots. The teams that line up on the other side of the Pats in a potential playoff matchup in that first round of the wild card round, John, assuming that they don't get the number one seed, the Chargers, the Bills, and the Houston Texans, or maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars, but let's just go with those two. What is the matchup out of those teams that you think is most advantageous for the Patriots?
Yeah, I think it's the Chargers. Okay. And I think a lot of it is Herbert's injury, but also it's not just Herbert's injury. They came into training camp with the best offensive tackle duo in the NFL, Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt.
Yeah.
They're without both of those guys now, right? Rashawn Slater got hurt early. Joe Alt got hurt during the season. It's a West Coast to East Coast trip, which sometimes those we'll see what time the game would hypothetically be at. But I like that spot better for the Patriots. The Chargers have a legit defense, no doubt about it. But I like that spot a little bit better. The injuries for the Chargers help you. And also, you look at some of the other potential matchups. The Bills just came to Gillette and won a game. Patriots could still win that playoff game, but the Bills did just come here and win. The Texans, their defense scares me more than any other individual unit in the entire playoffs. Those guys, the Houston Texans could come to Gillette and win 17-10. That's how good I think that defense is.
Yeah.
I think, again, the Chargers are good, and that's one of the things about this year. I don't know if there's any elite teams in the AFC. It is a little bit more balanced, and you're not going to have that cakewalk Miami, Pittsburgh wild card team from the last few years that other teams have got, but I still think the Chargers is your most advantageous matchup.
Yeah, I've ended up there with you because you're right. There is no team in the AFC that does legitimately everything well. There are teams that have individual elements that scare the daylights out of you. Like just playing Josh Allen, period, in the playoffs is something that scares me pretty much almost as much, if not more, than anything else in the AFC. That's something.
And I think if you look across the AFC, every single team has at least one or two significant flaws or question marks.
Right.
Like with the Patriots, is their run defense going to be better? They're not good in the red zone on either side of the ball, and they're really young. And then some of that stuff you could say about Denver, right? Like, they're really young. They're really inexperienced. Bo Nix is not playing anywhere near the level of Drake May.
Right.
Jacksonville, they're young. A lot of those guys haven't been there before. Buffalo, Josh Allen has been there. James Cook is great. That's not a great defense. And there's a group of pass catchers there that doesn't really scare anybody.
I see zero trust in watching Josh Allen recently amongst any wide receiver not named Dalton Kincaid. And I understand he's a tight end, but he's essentially built like a wide receiver. He was, his number one target by the end of the game last week was Brandon Cooks, who they signed off the scrap heap. So,
huge catch in the middle of the field late in that game to help set up the touchdown that they end up going for 2-4.
Right.
And it's right, because if I want to beat the Buffalo Bills, and this might sound counterintuitive, but if I'm trying to beat the Buffalo Bills this year, I make Josh Allen stay in the pocket and throw it 40 times.
Absolutely.
Because James Cook, one of the best running backs in the NFL, and you saw in the game that they beat the Patriots. What killed the Patriots in that second half was James Cook running, but it was also when Josh Allen got outside the pocket and either threw on the move or ran. That's what really killed them. Like, I keep Josh Allen in the pocket and force Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir and Brandon Cooks and Dalton Kincaid to beat me. And if they do, tip of the cap to them.
Absolutely.
But that's, it's not going to be James Cook beating me. It's not going to be Josh Allen running all over the place. It's going to be those guys. And I think that is your path to winning this game. Like, if you hypothetically matched up with Buffalo again.
So with the other two teams that are left on the slate, Houston Texans, they are good. They're great against the pass. They're great against the run, and they have some unbelievable pass rushers in their defense. Yeah. So they are good on every level. Their offense is serviceable enough to where their defense, if they dominate the way that they have against the I mean, they sacked Josh Allen 8 times when those teams played. Their defense is dominant enough where all they've needed is for their offense to play at a serviceable level, and they've been able to win a lot of football games. So that's the terrifying part of what happens against Houston. And then you get to the Los Angeles Chargers, who you probably would have looked at the beginning of the season when you broke camp and went, well, this offense can do some significant damage. They have an up and coming quarterback. They have a great offensive line. They have some pass catchers that can do some damage, and their run game is good enough to keep up with that. And they also have a fantastic coach. You now have a banged up quarterback with only one of two wings operating. The offensive line is busted, and so now what was supposed to be your strength has not become a weakness, but definitely taken multiple significant hits. So that's just kind of one team, John, where I go, yeah, they have good pieces, but they're not dominant necessarily on defense. They're certainly not dominant on offense anymore. So there isn't really that one element of their game that you go, okay, I have to worry about this in a potential matchup.
And it's interesting because the thing about, like, if you go back to Houston, their defense is elite. Their offense, it's a little big play dependent. Like, Nico Collins is fifth in the league in average yards per reception. You saw in that Chargers win they had, it was those two big plays early. Not a lot after that. So if you think about Houston, it's like, man, if you can score 21 points, you can probably beat Houston.
Yeah.
Problem is, I don't know if you can score 21 points.
Right.
Like, so then you got, like, and that's the thing. Like, the Chargers are a good team. I think, though, if you get them wild card weekend, you're catching them at a good time. Because coming into the year, I thought they were a team that was capable of going deep in the playoffs, maybe the AFC Championship game.
No doubt, yeah.
With the talent they had, with Jim Harbaugh there. It's just the injuries they've suffered. They got a little beat up in that Houston game. We'll see how they do this week. Do they get a little bit more beat up against Denver? I know some guys are sitting. And I think another piece that's worth kind of considering in all this, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the segment, the number 3 seed is also in play.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I don't want to do, Dan, I don't want to go down to Jacksonville in mid-January and play a divisional playoff game on the road down there. And I know a lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, it's the Jaguars. You know, they always suck. This Jaguars team is good.
Yeah.
Legitimately good. And I know the Patriots are undefeated on the road, but now you go down 80, 85 degree weather in January. Think about all the times they've gone down to Miami and struggled, Tampa Bay and struggled, and they won both of those games this year. Both of those games are in the first 9 weeks of the season. They didn't have to go to Miami in December. They didn't have to go to Tampa Bay in December. They got those out of the way early, and they won them. But are you playing with fire if you go back down to Florida for a third time and against a good team, a team that's better than Tampa, better than Miami, and you do it in mid-June? That's another piece of this, too. I don't want the 3 seed.
No, and you're playing a quarterback that this year, I mean, the numbers aren't eye-popping. 3,752 passing yards, 26 touchdowns to 12 picks. Obviously better than an injury-shortened year last year. 3 fourth-quarter comebacks, 5 game-winning drives. they've found a little bit of something. The metrics of when Trevor Lawrence is trailing in a game versus leading in a game are astronomically different this year. And though that implies that you have a lead, we have seen this Patriots team take naps, as their head coach talk about it. It happened in the second half against Buffalo in a game that was clearly within your grasp, but you let it slip. And it's happened against worse teams where they've just been ahead by so much that they haven't been able to claw back. But that's a team that if you get in the second half in Jacksonville, they are not out of any game, and their quarterback has been balling when the game matters most.
We just saw them go to Denver and win by 2 touchdowns.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, people look at them like, oh, Jags, whatever. They're good. Like, they're legit, and it's not just I'm stating the obvious, because they're legitimately can go to the AFC Championship game good. Like, it's good defense.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is good. That Jacoby Myers trade, I feel like, took that offense to another level.
Yeah.
Like, great trade by Jacksonville. So that's another piece. Like, as much as I want the Patriots to maybe rest some guys this weekend, that would be good if they could. And I know some guys like Spillane, Tonga already ruled out. Jared Wilson's going to be out. I don't want to lose and get the 3 seed. Like, I don't want to go on the road in the divisional round. And also, if you get the 3 seed, you might play Buffalo wild card weekend. I want the 2 seed because I want the Chargers at home wild card weekend, and I want another home game divisional weekend.
Yeah, I like all of that. That seems to be the roadmap that gives you the best chance to be successful. But you mentioned how this should not necessarily be a Jets equivalent game that the Patriots are seeing. They probably won't be in the situation in the second half where they can rest Drake May and he's, you know, campaigning with the refs on the sidelines to try to get calls for his guys. What about this game jumps out to you that differentiates from what the Pats saw last week?
I think just to state the obvious, I think Miami's flat out playing harder.
Yeah.
Like we saw in that Jets game, like they suck. But it felt like they quit partway through the second quarter in that game. Miami's not going to do that. Like Mike McDaniel, I'm not a huge believer in him as a head coach. He's an interesting guy, but I'm not a big believer in him as a head coach. I don't want to say he's coaching for his job because there's reports that he's going to stick around and all that. But if they come out and lay a stinker, maybe that changes ownership's thoughts a little bit. Quinn Ewers, same deal. Like, Dolphins are going to move on from Tua. This is maybe a chance for Quinn Ewers to make his case. Say, hey, I beat Tampa Bay last week. Now I went to New England and had a really good game. Little case for him. Devon Achane, he's doubtful, probably not going to play. If he does, though, top 5 running back in the NFL. And if he doesn't play, it's still a team that can run the ball reasonably well. So it's a game the Patriots should win. But it's not going to be the cakewalk, I think, and layup that we saw from the Jets last week.
It's just a dangerous group that seems to be playing for pride right now. Pride for their coach, pride for themselves, and pride for seemingly a vision for the future, a post-Tua Tagovailoa era in which their coach wants to remain and prove that he should be the guy that is the architect to bring in and develop a new quarterback and remake this offense under a new quarterback with a great running back, with a talented wide receiver one in Jalen Waddle, and all those kind of things. So there are more elements to the future. Even though Miami is eliminated and has been eliminated for a while, there does seem to be much more that they're playing for, to borrow a sports cliche for Miracle, playing for the name on the front more than the back. That seems to be much more evident in what's going on in Miami, 6-3 in their last 9 games, than what was going on with New York.
And we already talked about this earlier in the show. We talked about it all week, so we don't have to totally go into it. But there is an element of, do the off-field situations the Patriots have dealt with this week, does that affect them at all? A lot of young guys, a lot of new guys. Maybe they'll be fine. They've been fine through any adversity throughout this year, but we just don't know yet. Like, maybe it will affect them, maybe it won't. Just something else to monitor as well.
I would wonder if that manifests itself in a slow start.
Maybe
it takes a couple of series just with the sheer amount of distractions that you've had. Maybe it takes a little bit longer than you had against the Jets and you had against the Giants, where you kind of just put the pedal to the metal right away. That's also been part of the DNA of the defense almost all season, is slow starts on the defensive side of the football and putting the offense behind. So it could manifest itself that way. I would be surprised if it doesn't manifest itself at all. I trust this coaching staff to get this group ready, to limit the noise, to limit the distractions as much as any other coaching staff in football, just given the amount of experience that you have. But it's human nature. This stuff is, and it's happening specific to Stephon Diggs, a guy who is a key, if not the key voice within your offense. So those are all elements that make me go, it's going to be prevalent. It's going to be here, but I would be surprised if it impacts the group to the point where you're losing a football game because of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's something, another element of this to kind of monitor as you're watching the game.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So Patriots taking on the Miami Dolphins, 4:25. You got a football Sunday beginning the day tomorrow at 10 a.m. and then Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings postgame show to wrap it up. The full lineup is back on Monday with Mike Vrabel. You got Drake May and Marcus Jones on the afternoon program and all that coming up next week. We finish up our year in review and 2026 year preview with the New England Patriots. And we do that after David Azar gets you caught up on what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball, John Lyons with you. Running up until 1 o'clock where we hand it off to KJ and Tom Carroll. They'll take you up until 4. And John, we were off by a day. It was Sunday, January the 5th, 2025, in which the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills 23-16 behind 241 passing yards from Joe Milton to improved to 4-13 on the season. So when we celebrated the new year at the beginning of this past year, it was a franchise that was a shell of what it had been even just a couple of years prior. You had your first year quarterback who seemed like he was going to be the guy, but the main question was he Josh Allen, Justin Herbert the guy, or was he New York Giants Daniel Jones the guy? You had a coach who you were pretty damn certain, unless he just got another chance for the sake of being a former Patriot, wasn't going to be the guy the long term. And you had a roster of guys who just didn't really seem to fit together. You had highly paid quote-unquote talent that wasn't performing. You had some young pieces to believe in, but you had a really interesting mix of eras for the Patriots a year ago. So to sit here and have the conversations we've had all day today, all week, and all year based on where we were a year ago is a borderline miracle that's taken place this year.
It's a really staggering turnaround.
Yeah.
If you think about where they were, where again, this time last year, we were talking about the number one pick. Today we're talking about the number one seed, possibly. Like, that staggering turnaround. I think another piece is you look at when Robert Kraft fired Gerard Mayo, he made a point of keeping Elliot Wolf around, who did not have a good offseason in 2024.
Oh, no.
Outside of Drake May, it was one of the worst drafts in Patriots history. Bad free agency. Nothing trade-wise. So he keeps him around, says, oh, we believe in this scouting system. Mike Vrabel brings in Ryan Cowden. There was a lot of talk around that time. Hey, can these three guys work together?
Yeah.
Like, is Vrabel really going to work with Elliot Wolf?
And who ultimately says yes?
Right.
We kind of think we know the answer, but we're still not entirely
and
sure.
And is Ryan Cowden going to be okay with Vrabel also working with Elliot Wolf? Like, that was a lot of discussion. And look, we still have a few more years before we can really evaluate it. It looks like a great draft. Like, Will Campbell's been good.
Yep.
Travion Henderson has been good, especially the second half of the year. Kyle Williams has flashed. He's not there yet, but you can see it in him. Jared Wilson has been pretty good and started most of your games at left guard. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, wow, they might really have something here in this draft. And then you add in Milton Williams, A-plus free agent signing. Spillane, ever since that Sunday night game in Buffalo, has been great up until he got hurt.
Right.
Tonga, a guy that kind of flew under the radar that they brought in, has been really good for them. Like,
how about Kalevon Chaisson?
Kalevon Chaisson, Morgan Moses.
Yeah.
Like, these guys have been good players. Some of them great. A lot of them good. Carlton Davis, I think, has been good. How about Craig Woodson?
Unbelievable.
A guy they drafted at the top of the fourth round, started every game at free safety.
Right.
Like, the turnaround is really, again, I use that word staggering, because if you look at where they were, it wasn't just a one bad year under Gerard Mayo. It was three straight losing seasons, back-to-back years of four wins, and now we're sitting here and they're 13-3 heading into the final game.
And you have left behind pretty much every single remnant of past failed eras of Patriots football in the process. And it's very hard to find a year that has had so much turnover, so much change in a 365-day span in which almost every single fork in the road or flip of the switch moment has gone the way of the Patriots. Will Campbell at fourth overall, gone the way of the Patriots. Free agents in which they signed, they paid more money than any other team in football. Almost every single decision, gone the way of the Patriots. Staff signings, bringing back Josh McDaniels and pairing him together with Mike Vrabel, and how much say did Vrabel have in his hiring versus Kraft, whatever, went the way of the Patriots. Trading Joe Milton and quote-unquote clearing the runway for Drake May. He's now the odds-on favorite to win the MVP, even if he doesn't win. Goes the way of the Patriots. Signing Stephon Diggs as your number one receiver, and I know that this
week
up until this week, he was being lauded as the vocal leader of the room and the tone setter for the offense and a guy that young wide receivers could look up to, and that's still true. He obviously now has very serious charges against him, which you can't take lightly, but up until this week, that signing, gone the way of the Patriots. Like, it's hard to think of a decision where you can unequivocally say that did not go the Patriots' way.
Even like a guy like the Mac Hollins signing, which kind of flew under the radar. He added a totally different element to their receiver room at 6'4", was a good red zone target, but we saw him operate really well in the middle of the field. Like, I think you go back to that comeback win they had against the Ravens, that 92-yard drive where they took the lead. First play of that drive was a 20-yard pass over the middle to Mac Hollins to get him going.
Yep.
Like, one of the biggest plays of the game that we're not going to talk about because it was the first play of a drive. But if that's an incomplete pass or that's a sack, maybe they don't go down the field and score there. Like, huge play. And I think he's had a knack for making plays like that throughout the year. There was that 54-yard catch against Tampa, which was a huge play, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. So many of the things they've done, even like after week one, you lose your defensive coordinator to a serious illness, basically promote Zach Kuhler in combination with Mike Vrabel. And the defense has had some bad moments this year. They've been slow to adjust at times. But on the whole, they're a top 10 defense in most metrics. Like, they've been good.
And one of the other strings of decisions, John, that I think people looked at in kind of a critical lens, the cutting of Jabril Peppers and then the trading of Kyle Duggar, not necessarily.
And even Keon White traded,
yeah,
too.
And that was the next name I was going to get to. Maybe not as much him because he didn't really have a role on this defense from start to finish and was not living up to expectation. But you purposefully cleared out two veterans in your safety room in order to give more play time to Jalen Hawkins, more time to Craig Woodson, and you trusted guys further down your depth chart in order to fill in whatever snaps you needed. And that being a commitment and something that some people called an overcommitment to the culture and giving the power to the right guys in the locker room to be the loudest of voices and removing captains from the last regime, drastic and definitely at the detriment of your depth. But again, a string of decisions that seemed to go the Patriots' way in terms of the culture that they were establishing and the leaders that they were building.
And I think Jalen Hawkins has been one of the unsung heroes of the Patriots this year. He's made some huge plays for them. There was that, I mean, he had the interception against the Jets last week when they're up 14-0, which doesn't feel like a huge play. But afterwards, the Patriots score and the game is basically over.
Yeah.
But that forced fumble against the Ravens, that was a huge play early in that game. And Kalyvon Chaisaw, another new guy, had a forced fumble at the end on Zay Flowers. Huge play. But Hawkins, to me, like, I was down at training camp. Within about a week, he was repping over Kyle Duggar with the top defense.
Yeah.
And he basically stayed there ever since. And you saw when he missed that game against the Saints, all of a sudden the Patriots started giving up big plays. The first play of the Saints game was like a 53-yard pass by the Saints. And it's like, oh yeah, Jalen Hawkins isn't there. Like, think about this. Like, for those two guys, how many times this year, when those two guys have been in the lineup, Dan, have the Patriots given up huge plays? Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Texters and callers, if there's one I'm forgetting, I really can't think of one. I think those two guys, but specifically Hawkins, probably the unsung hero of that Patriots defense. And another kind of under-the-radar thing, they bring him in. I think they brought him in late last year or early this year. Vrabel decides to give him a bigger role. They keep him in that role. And it's really, again, not a guy that people think of at the top of the, but something that's really worked out well.
And that's also been a very quiet ability of this coaching staff in the front office that you have to give them credit for is, yeah, they cut a lot of guys, just straight up. They made a lot of roster decisions and had guys either traded or removed from the roster. There's also a handful of holdovers from the past regime, Jelani Tavai, Marte Mapu, Christian Ellis, guys that played significant snaps on the defense last year that they decided not to cut, but they also brought in guys to kind of add an extra layer of depth so that now you're talking about a backup at a position or a guy like Anfernee Jennings that switches sides as your one of your outside linebackers. So they identified guys who did not fit the scheme and needed to go. They also identified guys that did fit but couldn't be trusted as a starter, and it's all come together in a product that, again, is one of the better teams that we've seen in football. And, John, I think the thing that you can also take away as we review 2025 is that what we now have in 2026 appears to be sustainable for the long term because you know you have your coach. You think that you have your offensive coordinator, depending on if other teams come calling, and that's its own conversation. You know you have your quarterback. You know you have your left tackle. The wide receiver room, the running back room, interesting conversations both there, especially for the wide receivers. But there are a lot of things that you look at and go, yep, put that in pen because that's going to be here for a while and impact this team.
And if you think about the best players on this team, Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, Milton Williams, Will Campbell, Travion Henderson, they're all young guys.
Yeah.
Or in Milt Williams' case, in his prime. But the rest, young guys, something to build on going forward. And I think that's like coming into this season, the biggest thing I wanted to know, and I knew the Patriots would be better. I didn't think they'd be 13 wins good.
Yeah, fair.
But the biggest thing I wanted to know is, hey, is Vrabel and May your duo going forward? Like, and we kind of felt they would be, but now we know for sure. And that's really encouraging. And the amount of young guys they have contributing, I think is massive for them going forward. And we're not sitting here saying they're all going to be stars. I'm not telling you Craig Woodson's going to be the second coming of Devin McCourty. Okay, but he's a good young player that's a legit contributor to your team.
Right.
Like, that is really valuable to have. Like, Will Campbell, I'm not telling you he's going to be Willie Rowe for Bruce Armstrong, but he's a good young player who's a legit contributor to your team. Jared Wilson, legit contributor to your team. Like, it's so valuable to have guys like that because now you know, hey, next year, the year after that, we have something to build with here. We have real things to use going forward. And I think the McDaniels and May pairing has been such a revelation because I was a believer in McDaniels all along. I know some people weren't, but his work with May in the development of May, but also just how well May fits in that offense together. Now you have, hey, this is, even if McDaniels leaves in a couple of years, this is a style of offense this dude can play at an MVP level. Like, there's so many of those good things for the future to take away from this year.
Yeah, the pairing and the harmony between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, though you knew that there was a chance that both guys could do it, you didn't think it was going to be this good this quickly.
Yep.
And I wondered, with the track record of May and the track record of McDaniels, Josh having a lot of success with guys who are more traditional pocket passers, yeah, guys who weren't nearly the athlete that May was, And May, being an unbelievable athlete, a guy who could escape the pocket and had tremendous success throwing on the run, throwing to his right, all that kind of stuff, could McDaniels rein in May in order to be a guy who did have more success throwing from the pocket and could May be successful as an NFL quarterback if he was forced to stay there? And he's now at the point where he's being called the best pocket passer by guys like Dan Orlovsky, who I know you can poke holes in some of the stuff he says, but he's become a guy who, in the pocket and stepping up and moving it and knowing when to escape, all those kind of elements of a dual threat quarterback, he is a model amongst others in the league.
I think by far the biggest piece of May's growth and the biggest reason that he's an MVP candidate, he's drastically limited his turnovers this year.
Yeah.
Last year, he started 12 games, but one of them was that Buffalo game where he played a series. He essentially played in 11 games, and he had 16 turnovers. This year, he's played in 16 games, and he has 10 turnovers.
Right.
8 picks, 2 fumbles lost. That, to me, more than anything else, has been why he's elevated to an MVP candidate. He deserves a ton of credit for that. I think McDaniels does as well. I think the offensive line has been better than a year ago. They deserve credit for that as well. He's still under pressure, but nothing like, I mean, last year when they had games that they were at a 45% pressure rate, some of those games, he's not under anything like that. So I think his lack of turnovers this year, his limiting of turnovers, that's the biggest reason he's an MVP candidate. And that's the biggest reason I think they're at 13 wins. Not the only reason, not the only big reason, but I think it is the biggest. I mean, how many times last year he threw an interception to end the game against Tennessee in overtime?
Yeah.
Also threw an interception and had a fumble in that game. His worst game as a pro. Threw an interception to end the Rams game. They had the ball with a chance to take the lead. Like, he lost games last year on last-second interceptions or key fumbles. Like, you look at the Buffalo game last year in Buffalo. They had that backwards pass fiasco, but he also threw another interception in the end zone in that game, in the second half. And Stevenson had a fumble as well in that game. So my point is as bad as they were last year, they were in some close games that they lost because of May's turnovers and inexperience. That's been eliminated largely this year. You look at this year. The interception in week one against the Raiders to start the second half, that really hurt them.
Yep.
The turnovers against Pittsburgh really hurt them. And I think the interception against Tampa Bay in the end zone was bad, but they still won that game. So he's really, with turnovers, only really hurt them in two games this year, and both are in September.
And you're also seeing the decisions related to him tucking the ball and running changing drastically as well. And that's also been a work in progress, where we talked about it a handful of games into the season. He was still taking hits where he was cracking his head on the back of his head on the turf, when instead of throwing it away, he was trying to tuck it and run and play hero ball. And because he's such a physical specimen, when you're playing the kind of schedule that he was in college, you can get away with that because you're just going to truck guys. And, you know, he responded to Andy Hart asking why people don't take his head off. Like, hey, I'm 6'6". I'm a little bit harder to take down than you think.
I think he's done a better job protecting himself, too, to that point.
Absolutely.
Not perfect, but you compare it to a year ago, he's doing a better job.
And I think if you use Josh Allen as the archetype, he's, you know, almost a decade into his career, and there are still those moments where he takes hits that I would guess everybody at Highmark Stadium is going, kind of, you feel everybody's breath being taken away. That's still going to be a part of his game, because the athleticism and the improvisation is something that makes him such a special quarterback in this league. But how I characterize it is the dumb decisions per 60 for Drake May have gone down considerably. That's credit to him. That's credit to the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach, the coaching staff, offensive line, better targets, more trustworthy targets, and all that. And it comes together in a 2025 season and calendar year that has been a complete overhaul and turnover for the Patriots in a positive way. The one conversation that remains for the New England Patriots, John, is, what does 2026 yield for New England? That's the rest of the season, the offseason, and where we sit in a year's time. We'll wrap up our show by doing that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're right back to WEEI.
Back to wrap things up here on WEEI. Been a lot of fun to be with you here this morning into early afternoon. Myself, Dan Ball, and John Lyons. John gets a little bit of a breather coming up the next couple of weeks. But a fun couple weeks in the holiday fill-in role for both of us, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. You know, got to work Christmas week. Did the old Arcan show the 23rd and Greg Hill show the 24th. Little back-to-back bangers, tell you
that's,
that.
That's crazy.
Then I got pleasure working with Mego this week, filling in for Jones and Keefe. And a pleasure, Dan Ball. Being with you today. Pleasure being with Joe Weil as well earlier. Pete Blackburn, big thanks for him joining the show as well.
Yeah, check those out either Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just go to WEEI Weekend Shows. You can hear that as well as the rest of our conversation. We've gone through the year in review for the Red Sox, in which our conclusion was we think that they're better, but you could also say that they're worse. It was kind of a wash where we left that one. The Bruins are worse, but they have a direction, and that is a rebuild.
They're less worse.
they're somehow less. Yeah, they're a different
not a
kind
real
of,
English phrase, but you know. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like instead of being older and worse, they're now younger and worse. So maybe that's better. Stock is going up, according to Pete. But that's where that one was. And then the Celtics were an interesting one as well because they clearly were their roster wise a shell of where they were a year ago, but direction-wise, salary cap flexibility-wise, and the growth of Jaylen Brown-wise, that they're in a better spot. Yeah. So we'll see where all of those go, the last of which were the Patriots, who are far and away the winner in terms of improvement year over year in Boston sports. And so that brings us to an interesting conversation about what 2026 brings. This is almost regardless what happens in the playoffs, because we examine some of the playoff matchups. The Chargers are viewed by many as the easiest matchup. Conversely, I think it's kind of interesting that Chargers fans also view the Patriots as the easiest matchup, which is just a factor of the schedule and the
youth.
So
do Bills fans.
Right, exactly. So the Patriots are the team that a lot of people have in the middle of their dartboards for the playoffs. But let's go past that, because a team that comes to mind is the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels, new defensive-minded head coach, new offensive coordinator to pair with your young quarterback in a hell of a first season. That was then followed up by an injury-plagued year for Jaden Daniels and a just general step back for the team year over year. Are there things that you see about the Patriots, John, that differentiate them from the Commanders when it comes to making sure that you're still competing in year two of this thing?
A few things, but there are some similarities the Patriots have to be aware of. Like, I think I have a little more faith in him staying healthier than Jaden Daniels over the long term, but it's close.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the biggest issue that's hampered Washington this year. Daniels has been in and out of the lineup out most of the year. And the Patriots have so many young guys that you hope will improve. Some of them, though, what if, you know, Jared Wilson and Will Campbell have a sophomore slump, or Travion Henderson? So you got to kind of guard against that a little bit. I think Dan Quinn is a pretty good coach, but I'll take Mike Vrabel over him every day of the week. So I think they're in a better spot than the Commanders are, but I think you got to be aware of what happened to them and how you can avoid it. And that's why, like, I think this offseason, Dan, you're going to see the Patriots. They'll go after one or two big fish. Like, I think they'll go after a big-time edge rusher, either high in the draft or trade or free agency, and a big-time pass catcher, receiver, or tight end. But I think the rest of their moves are going to be in the middle of the roster, that depth part, where if someone gets hurt, they can survive it. Or if someone has a sophomore slump or doesn't play well, they can put someone else in and survive it. Because you look right now, they have a lot of quality starters. Depth isn't where it needs to be to contend long-term. So again, I think they're going to go after two big fish this offseason, and I think a lot of the rest of their signings, it's going to be a lot of mid-level depth pieces, which, again, they don't jump off the page at you, but heck, Mike Vrabel himself in 2001 was one of those mid-level depth signings, and he ended up being a lot more than that.
Right, exactly, and you've had a lot of guys who were kind of regarded as those same signings. Chaisson's one that comes to mind right off the bat as a, you know, rotational player who then grows into a key player, and with the kind of injury report that you've seen the last 2-3 weeks, if anybody was uncertain about the Patriots' need for depth, look at the way the injuries have piled up at the end of the season. You're never going to go through a full regular season and a playoff run and have a fully healthy roster. So you're right. That entire essentially backup level of your depth chart needs to be reexamined. And I think that's where another wave of longer term Patriots that we talked about earlier, that may be where they're shown the door. A Jennings, a Mapu, a guy that maybe isn't viewed as much of a scheme fit, but if you're going to cut him, then who are you going to replace him with in such a short amount of time? So I think that's huge, and of course, this is nothing new, but yeah, you're targeting the pass rush, you're targeting that defensive interior to maybe find some help for Milton Williams, so your run defense is a little bit bigger, and you have to see if there's one of those number one wide receivers that can shake loose, because this was a conversation that we had independent of Stephon Diggs' recent allegations and charges. He's now another year older, and can he remain a 1,000-yard receiver? And even if he can or he cannot or he gets close, is he truly a number one receiver in this league? And can you win a championship without a T. Higgins-level receiver, an A.J. Brown-level receiver? I do think that if one of those guys becomes available, as you are now a destination in the NFL where players hopefully want to come and play with your quarterback and in your offensive system, that's something that separates a lot of championship teams from just very good teams for me.
And I would expand on that a little, and I say, it doesn't have to be a receiver. It could be a tight end, too. Right? And we have a texter from the 603. What about Sadiq from Oregon in the draft? Fine. Like, there was a lot of years where the best Patriots weapon was Rob Gronkowski.
That's true.
A tight end.
Yeah.
So, but I still think I agree with you in that they need a high-end level weapon in the pass game. And I don't think they have it right. They have a lot of good players in the pass game, and they've worked really well together. But they don't have that A or A-plus level, whether it's, again, tight end or receiver, in the pass game that I think if you're really going to contend for Super Bowls, you have to have that. And you can go through the recent champions. Like, last year, Philly was loaded, but they had A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Right, the year before, the Chiefs had Travis Kelce, still kind of at the tail end, but good, right? Chiefs obviously won two in a row. 2021, the Rams had Cooper Kupp. Like, you have to have a guy in your pass game, whether it's receiver, whether it's tight end, that's that A or A-plus level guy. And I just, again, a lot of good players there. I don't think they have that.
Yeah, a lot of guys who within your depth chart, if you say, oh, Diggs is a 2, Hollins is a 3, you have Williams who still has that big ball potential, that deep play potential, all of that, if they surround around a guy who's just, I need a guy who's a matchup nightmare, who I can send up against some of the better corners in individual man coverage matchups and go, that guy's going to win. And it's interesting because there are teams in the NFL that I think have to make some interesting decisions this offseason. I think Philadelphia with their wide receivers, Cincinnati, just with their offense in general, that's coach and players. Even Detroit now taking a step back. They have a lot of interesting players on that offense. Not to say that their window is closed, but you have some decisions that you have to be made. So the ultimate question, John, when we are done with 2026, it's been an unbelievable calendar year for the Patriots. Is it possible that they're even in a better spot than they are right now?
So this is what I think is going to happen. Right now, they're a Super Bowl contender.
They are.
I think next year, they're going to elevate to one of the Super Bowl favorites.
Gotcha.
For, you know, one of those top four or five teams. And I think this is going to sound a little weird. It would not surprise me, Dan, if next regular season, they win fewer games, but they're a better team.
Okay.
So maybe they win 11 or 12 games instead of 13 or 14 this year because they have a tougher schedule. But we look at them as an even better team.
Right.
So, again, and part of that's like the schedule thing we've talked about 8,000 times.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised. Again, they win one or two fewer games, but they're a better team and one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
And they will be battle-tested through that schedule to be ready for a playoff matchup to where all of a sudden teams won't be circling the Patriots as a matchup any longer. But that is going to do it for our show here on this Saturday. John, always a pleasure to work with you, my friend.
Been a pleasure, Dan. 4 hours went by really fast.
Just like that in the blink of an eye. Thank you again to Joe Weil for joining us to talk Sox, as well as Pete Blackburn, who joined us to talk Boston Bruins. KJ and Tom Carroll on the way next. They have you 1 until 4 this afternoon before we get you into coverage of the Saturday games in the NFL. A couple of important ones coming up this afternoon and evening. Want to also thank David Azer. He's been back behind the glass this entire time and had you on the trending. I'll be back on the trendings on Monday as part of WEEI Afternoons, but make sure you tune in tomorrow for Football Sunday at 10, as well as the Fitzy and Hart Six Rings postgame show after the game. Have a wonderful and warm rest of your weekend. Talk to you soon. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.